ואני גם רוצה להוסיף לקדוש ברוך הוא, אני מתפלל בלב שלם שהקדוש ברוך הוא יעניק לנו בריאות, מנוחת הנפש, ונזכה להגדיל תורה ולהדירה. Amen. With today's year, I begin my 64th year of teaching Torah. And I have a world to give over this year, Be'ezrat Notein Layav Koach. I want to dedicate today's year. A lot of people who I know passed away this past week. Sit right there. A lot of people who I know passed away this past week. And there's one person, many people were eulogized. I even got letters from America. But there was one person who passed away who was a Tzaddeket Yesod Olam. And not many of you have heard the name. And I want to dedicate today's shiur to Chana Rubin, is the name she's best known by. Chana was the daughter of Irwin Bunim. Anyone who studied with me over the decades has heard the name Irwin Bunim time and again. He was one of the big lay people who built Torah in the United States, very involved in the Hatzalah work. Three children, I know all of them, the Amos Bunim, I think he was the eldest, the YU Musmach. His heart was somewhere between YU and Lakewood. Passed away a number of years ago. He wrote a beautiful biography of his father, A Fire in His Soul, I believe it's called. I've quoted it many times. The youngest daughter is married to Joel Schreiber, who was a year or two ahead of me in yeshiva and was chairman of the board of REITs until recently, old age, etc. And the position has moved on. Chana married Rabbi Rubin. He was rabbi of the Young Israel of Pelham Parkway. I taught three of her four children. Later, she was married to Rabbi Pupko. First marriage didn't succeed, but she married Rabbi Pupko. That's a great nephew or a great great nephew to the Chafetz Chaim. He was from the Philadelphia family. Unfortunately, he died young. And then she married Dr. Orsa Bell, and they came, he was already here, she was here, and you don't know, this woman's entire life was Torah, b'lev v'nefesh. I know many people who are from 100%, they're lamdanim 100%, but they have other values in life. She was one of those people who had only one value, Torah. And we worked together on a number of projects because when the Russians started coming out, she got very involved. And I can tell you just one little beautiful story. She grew up in Crown Heights. Everyone thinks of Crown Heights today as the center of Chabad, the world center of Chabad. All right, that's correct. We all know what Crown Heights is. But Crown Heights was once like Riverdale in the Bronx. A thriving Torah community, one of the few places where you could feel Shabbat on the streets. And she grew up there, and a dear chaver of mine, Irvin Shapiro, Zichrono Livracha, grew up there. And they were childhood friends. They went to Crown Heights Yeshiva. Anyway, I just want to mention, if you want to hear about great people, when Irvin celebrated his 50th wedding anniversary with Ruthie Schreiber, she should live and be well, he gave Chana enough money to make 50 weddings for 50 couples that had come out of the Soviet Union and were studying in the institutions that Chana was affiliated with. So that just captures the goodness of our era. For me, it's a big loss because I so admired this lady. She used to daven, you know, for 46 years. I had my minyan at the Kotel, and we used to walk home together, a whole group of us. During the Intifada, we had guns. I arranged for my son-in-law carried a gun, and my chaver, Bobby Yash, carried a gun. And we would walk in a group together. One time they were throwing rocks at us, and we had to shoot. Once we shot one shot, it ended all the commotion at that time. We thought the police would arrest us and interrogate us, but no one bothered us. And I want to tell you, Tzadek, and I have nachat too, and here I have to be honest, I suffer. I try to analyze why I cry whenever I mention Balei Tshuva and why I cry whenever I speak about the Shoah. So when I mention Balei Tshuva, it's very simple. I grew up in the Bronx, I've said it many times, 700,000 plus Jews. I don't think we had 10 frum families outside of the little crowd around Rabbi Bick in the East Bronx. Today, Baruch Hashem, most of the great students I taught over the last 64 years have been Balei Tshuva, they or their parents, including students in the kollel, not just on a collegiate level. When I mentioned the Holocaust, so you say, of course, a Jew cries, but it's more than that. I cry because so many Jews are so happy in Teaneck and in Beverly Hills and the Five Towns and Muncie. Don't have to go further. And it's beyond me how a Torah Jew cannot come an aliyah to Israel, how a Torah Jew cannot pick up a gun and learn how to shoot after the Holocaust. It's beyond my comprehension. And I want to mention, I taught three of the four children. At least with one of them, I won out. Dr. Moshe Rubin came in Aliyah a few years ago after a very, very highly regarded career at Columbia Presbyterian. He's not far from the neighborhood where your parents bought. Do you know him?
I know.
Tell him that I said a few words about his mother. So that gives me nachat. But all right, she shits. Be a melitza yosher for us, and zichrona tzadeket levracha. Okay, let me go further. Something amazing came out. Chaim, you're here. You'll appreciate what maybe you told me. I don't remember. No, I think I got a letter from Lakewood. A lot of people looking from Lakewood got in touch with me over the summer. I'm a popular guy there. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Lakewood is part of my mental makeup. I mean, I I don't want to shake it out. I'll put it that way. So, you know, there was the big machloket in Lakewood over, they were matir for an avil, Rabbi Bergman, to go to the big simcha, 25,000 people. What was it called? Adirim? What's it called? Adirei HaTorah. I remember they used the word Adirim, Adirei HaTorah. Rabbi Yitzi, I got better give him cover to me. I remember him before he was born. But Rav Yitzhak Lichtenstein, the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas, wrote a beautiful tshuver against the psak that was given in Lakewood. All right, I know more. I got a lot more information, and my own feeling is he should not have gone. It turns out that there were other gedolim who had come in from Israel, but from what I understand, there was, as usual, politics behind the scene. But all right, I may be right, I may be wrong. But the man who passed in the Lakewood, the Rebbe, is very highly thought of. A lot of my Talmidim from Lakewood are also Talmidim of his. And that's Reb Simcha Bunim Cohn, if I have the name right. I believe I do. So do you know what has happened to us since the Enlightenment? How our families, you can have in one family from A to Z, totally different. Do you know who his wife is? His wife's grandfather and Ehud Barak's father were brothers. And that goes back to what I told you in class. Over the years, I said to you, Ehud Barak, there's no greater enemy, I would say, of all that religious Zionism stands for than Ehud Barak. You're dealing with a man who is chief of staff, who won endless awards in the army for bravery, who was prime minister for a brief period. Totally ignorant of anything Taritic, never opened a chumash in his life. Yossi, do you understand what I'm saying? And I always told my students, he's not Barak. Am I Rakefet? Yossi, what's my original name? You got it. Wow, someone knows that I was born Rothkopf. That's a miracle. No one knows my brother. I had students in the Kollel who were sent to my brother, had medical problems that he was a world expert in. And my brother says, what are you doing here? I'm at the Grish Kollel. Do you know my brother? Oh, there's no Rothkopf teaching at Grish. And Barak is Bork. Bork with the right hands and left hands of Rabbi Yisrael Horowitz in Nevada, and that's the family Barak comes from. And take a look, and his mother, you don't even know this, it was headlines in the Israeli press after the Yom Kippur War. There was a big hit over it here. And his kibbutz voted, anyone who wants to put a mezuzah up, the kibbutz will pay for it. And his mother was one of two families who refused to put up a mezuzah. And take a look, his cousin, a first cousin, once removed, is the Rebbetzin of the Posek of Lakewood. So I have to say that information it's our generation, it's our story. It's my story, story of many others. Okay. I also want to make a correction. I many months have gone by, but Reb Michal Feinstein, regarding Reb Michal Feinstein, his father's name was Reb Avraham Yitzchak. Reb Avraham Yitzchak was a brother of Reb Moshe Feinstein. Their father was Reb David. So that when we speak about Reb Michal, he is a nephew to Reb Moshe Feinstein. He's also obviously related to the Rav because the Reb Moshe Feinstein and the Rav's mother were first cousins. And it's fascinating. And Reb Michal, it's what I told you, he took over. The first kollel in America was organized in Boston. If you've studied some of my writings, it was formerly a branch of Yeshiva, what today is Yeshiva University. Then it was Yeshiva and Yeshiva College. When the Rav succeeded his father in New York, Reb Michal took over the Kollel in Boston. But Reb Michal was not yet the Rav, and it didn't continue. Reb Michal, here I got received the information from Baruch Rizal, I thank you. Reb Michal went to Israel. He joined Reb Moshe Feinstein in Mesifta Teferet Yerushalayim on the Lower East Side, which I told you. In 1946, he married Livshe Soloveitchik, the daughter of the Brisk Rav, Rav Elvel. He returned to MTJ for 5 years. And then they moved to Israel in 1952. He opened the yeshiva in Tel Aviv, Yeshivat Beit Yehuda. In 73, he moved the yeshiva like everyone else. They all moved out of Tel Aviv and moved to Bnei Brak. Okay, so we've caught up. I've made the correction. And I'm ready to roll. Now, I know Yossi Jacobs. Are you in the kollel?
I'm in the kollel, yeah.
And you intend to come?
Okay,
so let me write down your name. Because I once was the most popular teacher in Grish Kollel in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. By this middle of 2000, my classes suddenly, who has to know this? It's become It's not for us. It's the art scroll generation has the Daf Gemara. Anyone brave enough to come and open their minds to Kol HaTorah Kula and a world of Torah beyond Kol HaKavod. What is your name?
Zachary Beer.
Zachary Beer, that's quite a name. One second, Beer, B-I-E-R?
B-E-E-R, like spelled in English.
Like the beer. Now, there's a very famous beer family in Yerushalayim. You don't know who I'm talking about. A Yekka family, very close to Rav Herzog, here many generations, and very close to my
background is not Yekkish. So.
Okay, we'll forgive that. And very close to my greater family. All right. Now, just a word of introduction about the class. I have a screen full of wonderful Talmidim, among them Gedolei Yisrael, listening. And then it goes on YU Torah. But just a quick word. This class began in 1978. I owe this class to Rav Yehuda Koopman. There were certain moments in life, three moments that influenced my whole eternity. One of the moments was in 71, when the encyclopedia was finished, and they had made a very big offer to me, Keter Publishing, to remain a staff editor, and it was a real offering of 2,000 lira a month. I would have been a well-to-do man. But I couldn't do it. I had to go back to teaching full-time, because that's why God created me. So Rabbi Koopman, Michala, where I remained, I taught for the next 15 years, he was speaking to me what he wants me to do. He said to me, look, you're a Talmud Chacham, I can shake Talmidei Chachamim out of many buildings and buy it for Gan. That's exactly what Dr. Belkin said to me when he put me in Rosh Yeshiva. We'll talk about that some other time. Not buy it for Gan, but Washington Heights. But you have a doctorate in Jewish history, I want you to combine the two and prepare a course on responsive literature. And now, I have one of my masters on responsive literature, the Cleves Get. So I was a little bit familiar, slightly familiar. And having been in the Rabbinate and speaking with Rav Moshe Feinstein all the time, I was slightly familiar. And I got very interested in responsive literature. And this class began in the Kollel in 78. I only regret that we didn't have the internet then, because all the shirim I gave till about 92 are lost. But from 92 on, and this I owe a thank you to Jack Levinstein and to my Talmud, Rabbi Fisher. From 92 on, John Fisher, Yonatan Fisher. From 92 on, it's available. So it's ongoing. And what happened was I gave a number of years on Eruvin. Eruvin always troubled me, why Jews kill each other over Eruv. And Pshuto Kamashmo, if you've been to London and know the inside story, you'll understand what I'm saying. And this machlokes repeats itself. So it intrigued me. So I spent a nice few years on Eruvin. Some say those were my best shirim ever. I don't know. I think my shirim on the Holocaust were my best ever in responsive literature, the 5 years I spent on the Holocaust. But be it as it may, if you get involved in Eruvim Chayim, you have to get involved in Rav Menashe Klein. The fact that you have an Eruv in Brooklyn today, you got to thank Rav Menashe Klein. And an Eruv in London, let's say, could be the Upper West Side, in Manhattan may be different because it's surrounded by water. So there's more room, the hatir, on basic sources, perhaps. So I got involved with Menashe Klein. I found that Menashe Klein, his 19 volumes, are fascinating. He answers every question he received. I can tell you, I sent questions to Gedolei Yisrael, so I never got answers. They didn't want to get involved in questions that have semi-political overtones, like a car stops you on Shabbos in Yerushalayim and asks for directions. What do you answer? I sent Rav Moshe that question. I never got an answer. Rav Menashe Klein would have answered me. So I found Rav Menashe Klein very fascinating, and I found he opens a world of Ungarische Psak and Hasidic Psak. And he deals with Satma Lubavitch, YU, Lakewood, tells Gerich Siddim, it's amazing who turns to Rabbi Nasha Klein. He doesn't get the cover he deserves because you have to be a world-class understander of Yiddishkeit to appreciate Rabbi Nasha Klein. A Litvak will dismiss him. I can't repeat all my shirim now. You know, he doesn't have a Litvish approach. He throws in, you'll see, a B'nai Yisrascha. Wow. My Rabbeim never even heard of the B'nai Yisrascha, much less quoted in a halachic answer. But I found them very fascinating, and a number of years ago I started going through his tshuvot, and I hope if the Rabbeinu Shlomo will spare me till 240 years, I will complete all that I have prepared on Rav Menashe Klein. Now, we ended off last year, and this is where we're picking up, and anyone who wants can go back and pick up the last few shirim, but today it's Chaticha Haruya Lihitkabed, but it stands on its own, you'll understand everything. We got involved the 16th volume, Chelek Shishasa, of Mishnah Halachot, Siman Kuf Lamed Zayin. And it was an interesting question, particularly for the YU crowd. Are you allowed to drink milk? And at first glance, this question is laughable. When Rav Heshi Shechter, as you know, Rav Tzvi Shechter, I grew up with Heshi. We grew up together. We go back to earliest childhood. He was my brother, who lives in Israel, Dr. Rothkopf, I referred to before, was Heshi's Chavruta for many, many years in Yeshiva Salanta, MTA, and Yeshiva College. At the end, Reb Heschel continued learning, and my brother went to medical school. Now, rumor has it, or more than rumor, that he doesn't drink milk.
I have confirmation from his son that he doesn't drink milk.
No, I've heard it all over the place, but I want to say it in a nice way. So Rabbi Yoshev was not happy when he wanted to ask him about drinking milk. Next week's Pasha, one second, let me check what I do with names out here. Zach, are you married?
Yes, I am married.
What does your wife call you?
My wife calls me Zach.
That's what I want to call you. Good. Zach. Okay, Baruch Shekivanti. Zach, next week, Sedra, if you don't drink milk, you better not read Kitavo. How many times you have the Eretz Savat, Nu? Chalav u'Dvash. Avraham Avinu, when the Malachim came, what did he say, serve them? Chalav, part of the meal. We have a big problem with meat and milk, but all right, we'll leave that to the Rishonim. Leave it for them to deal with. We all drink milk. Why is there a shiloh with milk? I mean, I can tell you, Eidut Nemana, the Ramori Rebbe, where the Rav had ulcers, problems with ulcers, he always was drinking milk. I remember shilohs he got with milk and meat, and Rabbi Klavan, who was ill and had to drink milk. It's recorded. You hear the Matter Sheva Brachas. And Rabbi Klavan is asking the Rebbe, can I drink the milk an hour after meat? Absolutely, it's nishtar shayla the Gemara, 1 hour sufficient. It's a chole. Tafka chole sheyesh bo sakana. But everyone drank milk. You all know the story. I've told it many times in the 70s when the Rebbe was dependent upon his gabayim, who were my talmidim. And he says to them, he gives them, or whatever, where's a dollar bill? Get me a quart of milk. And it was the Frumkeit binge already, and they're whispering behind his back, what kind of milk, Chol of Yisrael? And the Rav says, what's the problem? Dalewood milk with an O-U-D. And right, they went out and got him the milk. So then what the problem comes up in modern times is that more and more animals are found treif. And here I want to say something I did not know a year ago. And I'm very in debt to my Talmud Moshe Kravitz, who's, I just want to see if I have his letter here. So this question is asked in 2003 of Rav Menashe Klein by Rav Gavriel Yehuda Ilovich in Bnei Brak. Ben Sher B'Sori Harav Agon HaTzadik Oinav Beitin Tekehila Kedosha in Brazil, St. Paul in Brazil. And I didn't know who this person was, and he's asking, can we drink milk? I have a Talmud listening who studied in Gateshead. This Talmud is a very fascinating Talmud. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He's from a Lakewood family, wound up in France where his father was teaching in a yeshiva, raised in France, winds up in Gateshead. This is from Lakewood, becomes a Gerer Chassid, a real Gerer Chassid, with the Levush, with everything that goes with it. Lives in Israel today. He's getting a doctorate on his work on the Sforno, the philosophy of the Sforno. And he wrote to me that this Ilovich is a Gon Adir. As a kid in Gateshead, 18, he wrote to Gedoli Israel, and they would write back to him, Harav Agon. They thought they had no idea as a kid. Now, this solves another problem for me. There's long been a rumor circulating in Israel that there's someone in Bnei Brak of Anglo origins, meaning he learned, and the people slammed it in the world today. This has to be Gavriel Yehuda Ilovich. Well, one day I hope we can meet him. Very inspiring. And this Rabbi Ilovich was raised in a Satmar home. You see, it's a relative of Menashe Klein, coming from that whole area, Munkach Satmar. And he became a Gerer. But not to hurt his father, he dresses like a Satmar. Okay. So he, Tucker, is asking the Shaila of, are you allowed to eat, drink milk? Many cattle are treif. And I'll cite to you later, today or next week, I actually have a research paper done. And over the years, you see that there's more and more cattle, when slaughtered, who are found to be treif. I know in my time in the Rav Shia, so the Rav had a rule never to interrupt him while he's staying Shia, the office, because, you know, people were calling from all over the world. He, don't interrupt when I'm staying Shia, nothing else matters. One time, Mr. Abrams, again, Yossi, you know who Mr. Abrams was? Vayakam Dachadash. Chaim, it's unbelievable, unbelievable. It's a new generation. I'm lucky they're willing to tolerate someone who's Talmud of the Rav from the 50s. Mr. Abrams ran the yeshiva. He was the registrar. You stood in awe of this little, we used to call him the Jap. He was all of 4'11", and he was powerful. And one time Mr. Abrams opens the door, room 102, and the Rav turns around. Rabbi Soloveitchik, there is a phone call for you that they say is urgent. I apologize for disturbing you. Norman B. Abrams was a Talmud. His father was Lamnisha Mashkiach, Rav Avraham Pachter. That's Lunge, Poland. Came to America 1917 or so. Wound up in yeshiva, never left till the day he died. 1968, he ran the yeshiva. So the Rav went out, and the Rav came back about 15 minutes later, so he was very upset. Turned out there was an animal they declared treif, and they lost the animal among the kosher ones. And boy, that was a big shaila. Let's say there were 20 kosher carcasses and one treif. what do you do? Okay. And then the Rebbe went into, when he told us what had happened, and I think he paskened lahakel, but whatever the shaila was, that's what I recall. And then he mentioned that when you give hechsher on a slaughterhouse, he says if you don't have from 22 to 25% treif, you are not having good hashgacha. Now, over the years, this went up from 22 to 25 to 30, so it's really a problem with the cows. And this was the shaila. Now, we went in last time we met. We went through all the sources in Yeridaya, and there's a concept of Beetle Barov. And you can hear the tape and get all the sources. I don't want to repeat myself. But Medin Dioraita, if you have two pieces of kosher meat and a third piece gets mixed up with them, that's treif. And these are small pieces. I'm weighing every word. Chaim, have you ever studied Yeridaya? You know what I'm saying. It's not chaticha ruilit kabeba. Three little pieces. Medin the oraita, you can eat all three. Then you look in, you'll see a chumra. Maybe throw one piece away. Maybe don't eat all three together. Maybe you can eat two. Someone else can eat the third. But those are chumras. Meikadina, okay. Then we got involved, this is the way we ended off last year, and I'm building on last year now. Then we got involved. What does this mean? And here I want to present this simple, I'll use the word philosophic thought, chakira. Very simple. What does beetle mean? Beetle means we're human beings. It got mixed up. Chad b'shishim, one out of three, one against two. You can eat it. But it doesn't mean that all three are kosher. It means that the halacha is beetle 2-1. The oraita. Yavesh be yavesh. Min be bino. You can eat it. But perhaps it bothers you. You're eating something that's treif. I'm allowed. But not so nice. Let me be more pious. I'll be machmir. Or no. When the Torah says beetle barov, it means it's absolutely kosher, 1,000%. There's no b'dievet here. It's lachatchila. And this is a very basic question. You could carry it through to many, many circumstances. Are you a guest or you're here in the
call? I'm here in the class.
In the kollel?
Go.
And you intend to come?
I intend to come.
I'm being resuscitated. Napan was my... I once had five students, that's before you. Then I went down to one. What's your name?
Max Roberts.
Max?
Roberts.
Robert. R-O-B-E-R-T?
S. Roberts.
Roberts. You belong to Robert. Yeah. Max, a pleasure.
Thank you.
And that name is very sacred for me. It's my father's name.
Max?
Mordechai Rothkopf. Max Rothkopf, born in Harlem, 1910.
I'm also Max Mordechai.
You're also Mordechai. Wow.
My great-grandfather from Munich.
Wow, okay. Kala kavod. So we have a yekka here, see? You guys denied your yekkas before. Klal Yisrael, I just spoke. I had two... Natanz and Sachir last. I'm a multimillionaire many times. I have two more great-granddaughters.
Wow.
So at the latest edition, Noga is the first of her parents and the first grandchild on the other side. And and we had in Chafetz Chaim a week ago a simcha, welcome her. And I spoke, You have to understand, I don't even repeat my whole drasha, but the Svadim were willing to make me chief rabbi after the drasha. But Baruch Hashem, they have tremendous Kavod HaTorah. So I said, the blood in this child is unbelievable. I'm a Litvak, my wife is Palish, Chassidish. The father is a pure Yekov with the biggest Yeki Yichis. And from the other side, Persian, Moroccan chief rabbi of or Akiva, the Svadik Rav Kolchen, you have no idea the Yichis involved. And I said, but you see, when this little girl grows up, she's not going to know any of this Yichis. She's going to just say, I'm an Israeli. And that's the ultimate achievement of Kibbutz Galyat. And the Simcha was, and if the girl was raised in Chafetz Chaim, this is what I wrote about in the letter that was published in Emet V'Yamuna, that I never dreamt I'd be invited to a Simcha, Cholomei, Pesach, and Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim, and I could barely eat anything. It was all legumes. It was the engagement party. And Mitzad Dekala, Baruch Hashem. All right, come back here. So this is a very interesting question. Max, is it kosher? Do I have to be machmer if I wish? Or if I'm machmer, am I a rotten, vicious, malicious, hideous, heinous, ruthless, depraved, degenerate, apikoros? The Torah says it's kosher. It's kosher. All right. Vic said right away, you have to know, his name is Vic Snow, but his heart is warm with Yiddishkeit. Forget about the snow. Vic said right away, Rebbe, I couldn't eat it. And this is the question. Like, you can take with an Erev. An Erev, what do you mean? Rakefet gave Sheyurim, proving that it's easier to build an Erev in New York City, in London, in Moscow, than in Lakewood or some other little shtetl. Lakewood in my time was a shtetl. Today, you're looking at me. Yo, what am I talking to? The Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish. The buildings. There you have a mechitza. So you see, so now Natan comes along and he says, I want to be a tzaddik. I don't want to carry. The Chatam Sofer would beat him up. The Rush would beat him up. He called his Talmud an apikoros because he didn't want to accept the Tzirat HaPetach. I can't go and tell the alumnus, but I have to believe that at your age, you follow what I'm saying. Now, Vic will remember, this is a machlokes, the Rush and the Rashba, Gedolei HaRishonim. And Rav Menashe Klein quotes everything, and you'll find this all over. It all goes back to the Rush and the Rashba. The Rush says, when it's mutter, it's mutter. The Rashba has the opinion, I break into Yiddish, Max, when I learned in Lakewood, I want you to know, I was convinced by Freddy Zucker, Zichrono Levracha, that the Torah was given in Yiddish. And the worst part is, I believe it, Zach, until today. The Torah was given in Yiddish. We can verstehen adva halacha eiv nicht in Yiddish. Was versprach hat Moshe geredt mit die Eibishte eiv nicht in Yiddish. But if I break into Yiddish, just raise your hand, remind me to translate it into English or Hebrew, whichever language is better for you. My dear students, who's right? Who's right? You see, this is a delicate question. And here I want to say, and Vic, I want you to know, I was thinking about this all summer. Because there's something, you should know, I agree with you. I couldn't eat all three pieces of meat. But am I right or wrong? And here, let's grow up, let's be mature. And I take you back to a long conversation I had with Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. Again, I apologize to me. He's the babe. You understand? We grew up together. And are you aware that in YU, in my time, he was known as the babe? You know why he was known as the babe? He had a baby face. I have many great grandchildren with the big, big face. He was the babe. How the world continues without the babe, I don't know. See, this is not the same Kollel. Believe me, with all due respect, we miss him. we miss him. So I once had a long conversation with Aaron, and this is a real question. How do you teach youngsters? We teach them Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I grew up, when I was a kid of 12, I knew the Kitzur by heart. Good or bad, you know, the Kitzur gives you a feeling, one way to go. But Torah is really not like that. We can have a machlokes hapaiskim. You can have a, how many times have I gave shiurim on Reb Moshe versus Reb Menashe Klai? Have a machlokes hapaiskim. How do you want to teach a kid? You see, we discussed it. And I'll tell you, a child has to have guidance. I'm not going to tell my great grandchildren. I have many great grandchildren. And this last week I had a lot of visits, like a farewell to the summer. Even on Shabbos we had 4 great grandchildren in the house. So it's very moving. And these kids have been ate terror, you know, my grandchildren, payers, big kippot shrugot. My elder, one of them is starting Gemara and next week. And you got to give them a framework. On the other hand, it is important as a child grows, as a Talmud of the Rav, and those of you who know me, just to know there are many opinions out there. Someone came over to me in my neighborhood. I came to Israel 50th. I'm teaching here 64th year of teaching Torah today. This is my 54th year in Alat Mata Kodesh. So I was unknown, 54. Today, unfortunately, too many people know me. And Israelis come over to me and they say to me, Atali Ta'i? I say, Anili Ta'i Avolomit Nagate. So one Israeli, he said, hey, I know him from Kerem B'Yavna, where Lower Laney were at funerals of Kerem B'Yavna boys head during the Yom Kippur War. I still remember him carrying the Urim. So today he's a grandfather already, many times over. So I explained to him, I'm a Litvak in learning, and my whole gestalt is from Litta, as you will see shortly. I have a major article coming out in Chakira. But I'm not a mitnaged. There are other viewpoints out there. Someone's going to tell me he's a chassid? I have one that Yomo will testify. I have one Talmud in America every other Monday and Thursday. I get a letter from him maledicting Hasidim, and why don't I join him? How can I maledict Hasidim? Someone will tell me he's a Yekka. A Yekka? Take a look what they built next door, Machon Lev. Yes, and it's very important. But on the other hand, if you're going to tell a kid of 6, 7, 8, 9, yeah, freedom of choice. The Shach Paskins this way, the Taz Paskins, the Magen Avraham Paskins. You're going to confuse him. The Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan. Remember my Shayurim? Who do we Paskin like when the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah disagree? You understand? So you need both. And the truth of the matter is, who is right, the Rush or the Rashba? I don't think you can ever give a black and white answer. It depends on you, who you are, how you think. And they're both right. This is Torah. This is the halacha. Something bothers you and you want to be machmir? Okay, I can understand it. And I think this is the approach to go. Now, here I can fill in what I couldn't do last semester. And here's where Reb Menashe Klein is different. Reb Moshe Feinstein would never quote a B'nai Yischascha in a halachic tshuva. My Rebbeim in YU, I'm part of a time warp. On one hand, I have to tell you, every Rebbe I had from 7th grade through the Rav, every last one shaved. No one but no one didn't shave. Some were totally clean shaven. Some had a little schnip here, a little Van Dyke, a Yekesha, a little beard. The Rav, but everyone shaved. And they were litvakim. There were no Hasidim there. If I would tell Reb Noach Bornstein, Rebbe, ich hab gesehen in the Bnei Yisrascha, he would have thrown me out of class head first. Imagine Reb Yeruchim Gerelik, according to Bnei Yisrascha, Reb Yeruchim would have gone crazy. The Rav not. The Rav already was different. He had a certain breitkeit, a broadness, that certainly affected me as a Talmud of the 1950s. But here, Reb Menachem Klein cuts the Bnei Yisrascha. Now, if you recall, last term, I couldn't find the source. It's not where he says. A Talmud, and I apologize, I didn't keep the letter of the Talmud. I can't thank him. He wrote to me that there are many editions of the Bnei Yisrascha, and he said, "What you may have a different edition," and lo and behold, it's exactly where he said it would be in the different edition. Now, let me just say a few words about the Bnei Yisrascha. It's the sefer of Reb Tzvi Elimelech Shapiro Midinov. He was the din of a Rav. He was basically a great nephew of the two holy brothers of, let me get the names, the whole story. His mother asked for a blessing from her uncles, Reb Elimelech Meilijans and Reb Meshulam Zasha Meanapol. And she was their nephew and niece, and she had trouble. Children died young, and they gave her a bracha. You're going to have a son. There's going to be a gadol shavu gadolim. And this was the Bnei Yisrascha. Now, what's different about the Bnei Yisrascha, it's his drushes on the months of the year. It's a very popular sefer among Hasidim. It's one of the most basic sfarim. If YU only would listen to me, no one listens to me, what can I do? I proposed years ago already they should have so many morning divisions. It's not like my time where you had just the yeshiva and teachers institute. Today already the Reish Medrash program and the Jewish studies program. Add on a Hasidic program. Add on the Ribbono Shel Olam attracts Hasidic kids. My Talmidim in Chabad tell me that why you would pick up a lot of Talmidim from around the world, from Shluchim, who are more open than the Crown Heights crowd, and it would be great. And your Tomchei Tumimim, call it, and it doesn't have to be Chabad. It can be Chabad, Breslov, anyone who wants. But one of it would Tomchei Tumimim modeled upon what you had in Lubavitch, the yeshiva that began there in 1897. The first hour they learned Hasidus, and afterwards it was a regular yeshiva. Gedolei Yisrael came out of there. The only expense for YU, I even suggested some faculty members who are Hasidic bent in their learning and life, they could teach very well. The only expense would be, what do you think? What do you think, Yossi? Have to build a mikveh. Because Siddim go to mikveh every morning. Did you go into Machon Lev? Did you see the mikveh there? State-of-the-art mikveh built in Machon Lev because they have over 1,000 Hasidic students. So that would be the only expense. What would be bad if the New York Times could do an article, Yeshiva University builds ritualarium for men?
Ribbono Shel Olam.
Some chassidim are mock, but it should be a mikvah kashel in Hashem. What do you say? I would like to see why you build the mikvah. That mikvah would bring in, if they spent $100,000 building it, it'll bring in ultimately billions of dollars. And you can quote me. I know people. I know what I'm talking about. So, build the mikvah. Now, the Bnei Yisrascha would be a fascinating sefer, because it's on every chag of the month, particularly on Chanukah. He felt he got his Gilui Shechina on Chanukah, and that's where he's widely quoted, because he has endless Divrei Torah on Chanukah. Now, what I'm quoting from is the Maima Chodesh Adar, Maima Bet. It is on Shekel HaKodesh, the seventh drush. In the edition I'm holding, it's on page Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Bet. Okay? And here he's it's what we spoke about last time, but much more. He speaks about that when an animal is declared kosher, even if there was a shiler on the animal, it's literally a mitzvah to eat the animal. Why? And he speaks in terms of nitzatzot shel kodesh, nitzatzot shel tahara, that the animal, why did God create the animal? Why did God create animals as machal for the ben adam? Hanitzotzim hakadoshim. And this is so important. The more that you eat it, the more you use the holiness in God's creation to complete the world. Nitzotzot hakadoshim. What God has created, it's up to you to bring it to fruition, to bring it to use. And he has a Hasidic interpretation here. The Gemara in Bracha, Daf Chet Amid Aleph, Gadol Hane'ene Me Yigi'ol Yoteh Me Yerei Shamayim. What does it mean? A Yerei Shamayim, and this is, he quotes the Shalach HaKodesh. Some of my grandchildren and great-grandchildren have Yichis from the Shalach HaKodesh. Quotes the Shalach HaKodesh, and what a fascinating concept. Again, I repeat the Gemara, Gadol HaNenem Yegiel Yotem Yerei Shamayim. What does it mean, Yegiel? Min Lichten Lernen, a person who's learning. You're struggling, you're learning, you're putting together concepts, you have a difficult shaila, you're looking at sources that is greater than the Yerei Shamayim, who will say, Mali Litzarazu, what do I have to get involved with? A shaila on the animal? It's treif, I don't have to eat it, I don't have to touch it. Gadol, wow, what a pshat. If you're Yogeir in Torah and you come up with a Heta, this is greater than the Chassid is going to wake away and say, Mali Litzara Zu. And this is the Bnei Yischascha. This is the Nitzotzot HaKadoshim. And I have to say, as a Litvak, it's not that easy for me to understand what he's referring to. But then again, there's a very important person has just entered the room who has skuyot on top of skuyot on top of skuyot. But I'll only mention, he is my first Talmud from the Soviet Union, Moscow, January 1981, Harav Aryeh Katzin. I didn't know him as Harav Aryeh Katzin then, it was a whole different name. Luba, what was
Loba?
Loba, Avaisov, Avaisov. Haravai, he has great schuyat. You have no idea what that man has done. And it shows you the schut that if you're l'shem shemayim, and I go back now to Chana Rubin, imagine had an angel tapped me on the shoulder in 1981 and said, Aaron, that refusnik that you're teaching one day is going to be your partner in doing great things for Soviet Jewry, Klal Yisrael, etc., etc. And take a look. Okay, coming back here. Yes, as a Litvak, but you see, there's also a Hasidic tradition, and you can find it already in Perek Chelek in Sanhedrin. Mashiach will come when all the children will be born who had to be born before Mashiach comes. So you see, there's this concept that God prepare the world, you have to utilize it, b'kedusha uvetahara. Well, if the B'nai Yisachar is correct, then anyone who steps aside and refuses to drink milk, you're not doing the right thing. God prepared the world. The Rabbanim have paskin. Achalei rabim lahatot. Drink the milk and enjoy it. And bring to fruition the world that God has made. Now, this question, you can go on and on. The Reb Menashe Klein again, and he's time and again, he's quoting the Sefer HaChinuch. I don't recall Reb Meisher quoting the Sefer HaChinuch any time in his Tshuvat. But time and again he quotes the Sefer HaChinuch. And this we spoke about last year. I just want to be very brief. In this week's Sedrin, or last week's Sedrin already, Kiseitzei, so you see with there's certain nations you can never intermarry with them. And the Egyptians, Doshlishi, you're allowed to intermarry. So the Sefer HaChinuch explains that what's the difference, and you have to be Makar Tova. Hakara Ketov is very basic to Yiddishkeit. That's the Rav always used to quote the Chovat HaLevavot. It's the introduction to Shah Gimel, if I recall correctly, that the whole concept of religion and belief in God and Torah is Hakarat HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for making the world and creating us in such a world that can be so beautiful and enchanting. And that's the Sefer. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, Hakarat HaTov, we were there, we were slaves, they fed us, they clothed us, they gave us up the kishuim, chinam, ein kesem. I don't have to tell you what goes on in the Chumash. And the end of third generation, we can already intermarry them. Unlike other nations, that we can never allow them, lavo b'klal Yisrael. So, Rav Menashe Klein quotes the Sefer HaChinuch. It's not that it's a chiyuv to marry them. It's, if you want, you can marry them. In other words, it's not, I never had anyone, Chaim, when you were going and looking for a wife, did any of your abayim say to you, find dafka, a girl who's a third generation Egyptian, so you can be mekayim, the pasuk in the Torah. No one said that to you. But all right, if it happens, it happens. So Rav Menashe Klein says, could be the Sefer HaChinuch differs with the B'nai Yisrascha. According to the B'nai Yisrascha, Vic Snow and Aaron Rekefer are incorrect. If the halacha is its muta, eat it. Nitzotzim kedoshim. Very important. That's the B'nai Yisrascha. According to the Sefer HaChinuch, yes, it's muta, but it doesn't mean that you should eat it if you don't want to. You don't have to. But if you get stuck in the road and you're starving, eat it. You're allowed. Okay? And this question, I don't know which is right, which is wrong. I think it depends on the individual. And I think that opens up the whole world of Hashgafa. As I said, I was raised in the Litvisha world. From 7th grade on, all my Rebbeim were Litvakin. The only exception was Rav Yosef Weiss, but he too was more Litvak than his Hungarian origins. He was a Talmud Mufak of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Let's not forget that. But all my Rebbeim were Litvakin. Some of them were so sarcastic against Hasidus. And yet, they're people who need Hasidus, whose souls long for Hasidus. And you have to allow freedom of choice. If you've read my work, Washington, I have a line there which I think is right on. It hits the nail on the head. Halacha is like a frame around the picture. Halacha demands, commands obedience. But the picture you paint is individualistic. Each one paints a different picture. We have different abilities, different experiences. Each one paints a different picture. And you can't force everyone into a straitjacket. And I've often told this story. I never will let anyone criticize Chabad in my presence. All right, I'm not talking about the Messianists. They're off the wall at times. I've met some of them and tried to talk with them. It's like you can't reason with them. It's a cult, you follow? It's mamish a cult. But when we talk about normal Chabadnikim, I have seen miracles. And I'll tell you one simple story. I've told it before. I'm telling it again. The building I live in was built after the Six-Day War. It opened for people in the end of 69. And we're from the first settlers in the building. So there was one family there. At that time, half the building was religious, 69, 70, half the building was not. There was one family, the guy was a judge in Israel, and the hatred for Yiddishkeit was unbelievable. I mean, mamish, enmity, hatred. I'll talk about it tomorrow in a different context, you'll see. And I found out his wife was a discount. And I was speaking with her, and I said, "Are you related to the Briska Rav yet?" She said, "Diskin." I think she was a direct relationship, either a great-granddaughter or a great-great-granddaughter niece. I couldn't believe it. And the kids grew up. I remember the kid, Lo Aleinu, who was drawing with chalk on Shabbos. And we had one of our neighbors, we had Rabbanim in the building, Rav Ayale Grisnes. I hope you recognize the name, the Lev Arye. He was Av Beit in London, came in Aliyah, lived in my building for many. We used to talk and learning every day. It's a pleasure. And he comes home from shul, and I just see him before my eyes. This is about 50 years ago. He's bending down and saying to the kid, "It's Shabbos. How are you drawing? How are you painting like that? Chalk?" And the kid says, the Gemara says, "Anachnu lo datiyim." In other words, the whole Torah doesn't apply to him. That's the chinuch he was getting. And all right. Their daughter only wound up in jail while our building was on the front page of every newspaper in Israel. She only tried to kill her commander in the army. I mean, if you're not religious already, everything is mutter. And she got off with a heavy sentence. They proved that she only gave him enough poison to injure him. It wouldn't kill him. So I think she got 5 years in jail. At the end of 3 years, she was left out. She went to England. No one even heard from her again. Who knows if she's still alive or still Jewish. But why am I telling you this? Watch. I'm scholar in residence in the most important synagogue outside the state of Israel, Kehilat Jeshurun, in the Upper East Side. And I'm speaking, and Rabbi Lookstein, and oh, Baruch Hashem, people think, what a great man from Jerusalem. A humble servant, but all right, let them think a great man. There's a kiddush afterwards, and a couple comes over to me with their children and says, "Oh, Rabbi Rakefet, how we enjoyed your talks. By the way, we think you know our sister." And I look at them. Who's her sister? My neighbor, the wife of the judge. And I'm shaking. And she says, "I understand. You're probably wondering how we can be sisters." She says, "I was raised in the same house. I knew nothing about Torah. I went to America to graduate school. I met my husband in medical school. Chabad picked us up." Our children go to Ramaz. This is about 40 years ago, I would say. I couldn't believe it. I came back to Israel. I said, "No anti-Chabad talk in my presence. If they can pull a miracle like this off." And then this is healthy. this is good. We don't have any enmity in us. I can be a Wayu person. I can love a Lakewood person. I can love a Satma. I can love a Gera. Torah is the most important thing. It's a Shema Shabbos. He davens. He learns. His wife lights candles, goes to mikveh. You're giving the children a chinuch. The rakefet test of whether you're religious or not is very simple. How you educate your children. Doesn't mean you'll succeed. I'm not a dummy. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Today, most times we do succeed. But how you educate them, what you want to educate them. And this is the way I would approach the Rush and the Rashba. And I don't want to give a black and white answer. And I can understand, Vic. Remember, Vic, when you said to me and you were upset, how can you eat the three pieces? All right. According to the Rush, you're an apikiris if you don't. And according to the Rush, well, you have a Hasidic soul. What can we do? Yes, Yossi.
Would there be a Timtum Halev?
Yeah. So that he mentions it in the Tshuva. I spoke about that. That's a factor too. That's why Vic says I don't want to have. But according to the Rush, when it's mutter, it's entirely mutter. There's no Timtum Halev. That Chazal had the right to say Bitul Barov. This is Torah law. Have the right. Bitul B'shishim. Have the right. Okay. Now I want to go one step further, and I have to tell you in advance that this is the most important part of today's shiur. And this touches upon the world in which we live. Illowich, I don't know if Reb Heschel Schechter raised this issue. Yomo, do me a favor, turn on the air conditioning and put it down to 23. I had it at 22. The room was freezing, and this is sensitive weather because we're between hot and cold. The Yetov, Be'ezrat Hashem. It's almost Tfilat Geshem. It's 22. Whatever you have is fine. By the way, we owe a big thank you to Yomo. I want to thank YU for hiring him to assist me. And he's been of tremendous, tremendous help. It's not just this research and my writing and tremendous help. And we owe Yomo a big thank you. Yosef Mordechai Gachman from Kiev. Okay? And he's the only person in this room that four armies are after him. The Russian, he was born in the Soviet Union. The Ukrainian, the American, and the Israeli. Four armies are after him. They're not after you, but they're after him. Okay, now, so Ravilovich, and I give him all the credit. When I first saw the Tshuva, I thought, who can be asking a question like this? There's something off the wall with him. But after hearing from my student, Moshe Kravitz, who tells me who he is, he says very simply, we have a solution today, an X-ray machine. Why can't we X-ray every animal before we take milk from him? Max, it sounds shocking to you, yekesh your mind. I see it in your face. But he asked seriously, an X-ray machine. Now I'm not an expert on it. I'd have to bring in my son-in-law. My son-in-law graduated Machon Lev 40 years ago, and he's a big expert on X-rays and ultralight. And he won two great awards for helping develop Merkava 2 and Merkava 3. So he would understand. But I mean, what do you mean? You carry an X-ray machine with you? Yeah. A portable X-ray machine. You wheel it up to the animal, and you see inside the animal whether there's any tophus. Can you do? I don't know. But this is what he's asking. Okay. Reb Menashe Klein says, you're going to have an X-ray machine. How can you X-ray? What, are you going to carry the machine with you? I'm quoting from him now. And he says, imagine people who are traveling. What are they going to do? They have to drink milk. Carry an X-ray machine with them? Tell them not to travel? Telling them not to travel is dakecha dache noam. Imagine if we have a religion where you can't travel because you can't drink milk. You can only go where there's an x-ray machine. And he, being a Hasidic Yid, and here I have to be honest, Chalav Yisrael never was a problem for me. When Lakewood began, they used Breakstone's milk. Right or wrong, there's Eidat Nemana. I remember in my time that the stories of how they got their milk and their cheese, and I don't know if it was donated or at cost, these were Yidden who established a big milk company in the 1880s, 1890s, and their heart pulled them to help Reb Aaron Kotler. They still had a shtickle on a shama, a bit of an neshama in them. The Rav, whoever heard of Chalav Yisrael? I told you before, Delwood milk with an O-U-D, quote, end quote. But Chassidim, you got to give Chabadik and Walter the credit. They go to the end of the world, they establish an outpost for Chabad, and they have to go and stand where the cows are being milked. So it should be Chalav Yisrael, right or wrong. The Belzer Rebbe went to the OU, I told you this, and said to them, he pleaded with the OU, the Belzer Rebbe is right on the ball, as we'll see tomorrow. And the Belzer pleaded with the OU, make it Chalav Yisrael. And the OU said, we can't do it all over the world, it's just impossible. And not to give a heksha for those who drink Stam Chalav would be unfair. But Rav Menachem, what do you mean? You're going to go with an x-ray machine and how do you go to the farm? You want to oversee the milk? You're going to have to schlep an x-ray machine with you. This is not possible. Now, here you get involved and Rav Menachem Klein goes on and on. Lo nitna Torah l'malachei hasharet. Torah has to be given within a human context. Goes back to sugyas and kedushin, a Tosfot, a good deal of kodshim. Imagine the kohenim. Big day kohuna asur lahem not mehem. If that's true, the minute they finish the avodah, they have to strip naked. So you mean to say in the Beit HaMikdash, yeah, today in today's world it would be wonderful. The Kohanim are naked, they'd be making movies. I mean, you don't realize, you've grown up in a world, do you know that until about 1950, they never showed more than a kiss in a movie? It was censored. Only a kiss. The Catholic Church permitted, if they weren't married yet, but they were going to get married, they were allowed to kiss. That's all they showed in the movie. Just think what you see in movies today. Hashem Yirachem. There's no human dignity. So, lo nitna Torah, the Kohanim would have to strip naked in the Beit HaMikdash. It's all right. Tosfos already says the basic lo nitna Torah l'malachei sharet. They're allowed to wear the clothes back to the ta'im. How do you say that in English? Ta'im. Ta. On the side of the Beit HaMikdash. Hangers, what's the word where you put your clothes in before you go to the gym? What's it called? Lockers. Lockers, thank you. Ta'im. See, I've lived in Israel too long, I think in Hebrew. I forgot the English already. Ta'im. This is basic to Yiddishkeit. More than that, Aryeh, there's an entire Masechet Avodah Zarah, one of the basic themes. Tell me, you use olive oil? No, we use olive oil too. In it, Spain, OU, olive oil. Greece, olive oil, OU. Italy, olive oil. They wanted to be geyser and olive oil, stam shemen. The whole concept, like yayin, to keep us apart. We shouldn't, in America today, the Jew and the non-Jew live together, stay together. Everything is intermarriage, assimilation. It's unbelievable what we're up against where we don't observe Torah. And they found Ein HaTzibur Yecholim Lamod Bo. That olive oil, the Tzibur just couldn't manage it. And You see? This, I'm quoting, you'll see all the sources here. It's right here in the Tshuva. And they totally abolished the Gezeirah. So much so that there was a Machloekes, Rabban Shmuel, should you be Machmir? And they absolutely paskened, you cannot be Machmir. Lo nitna Torah l'malchei asharet. The Gezeirah against wine caught on. The Gezeirah against Shemin did not. Ein Hatziba Yecholim l'amuz v'zeh. And they totally abolished it. And he gives another example. Oh boy, this example hits home to yours truly. I told you, I grew up Litvish. I married a wonderful lady. Aryeh Katzin can testify. Ani modela kadosh baruch hu. I married a wonderful lady. Ach, you have no idea. And the children she raised, the yirat shemayim. I mean, ani modela kadosh baruch hu. I have three daughters. All have advanced degrees. All very well known in their fields, and not one is a feminist. Not one. Yireyot v'shleimot. One of them, the Av Beit of Yerushalayim, when he with me, he would hug me and kiss me. He's no longer alive, Rav Rosenthal. And he said to me, you don't know what your daughter did for us, because my daughter was the first female rabbinic lawyer, first one to pass all the exams in Yerodeyach and the Choshen Mishpat, Eben Ezra and Choshen Mishpat, I should say, and have Hasmacha from the chief rabbin. The first time, he says, we were so worried they were feminists. And in her opening talk, my daughter said, I am not a feminist. I am only here to work within the halachic framework, clients. And Baruch Hashem's history. I had a lot of problems. My first year I'm married, we're at my wife's house for Pesach, and I drop bread into the soup. And my mother-in-law looks at me, my father-in-law, but more my mother-in-law, he's a Meshbetz Chassid, he's a Belz Chassid, they were born that way. And they're Americans, but Gebrachs, the Amei Aretz, they thought I made the plate strafe. And boy, I suffer until today. If my wife is looking, I can't drop matzah into the soup. There's nothing I like better than hot soup with matzah. But I have to be sure my wife is not looking. Hi. No. Rabbi Nasha Klein quotes the Chatam Sofer that he was makpid to eat gebrachs in public on Pesach. And I can tell you, Chaim, look into the Svarim on Minigei Hagra, Ma'asei Hagra, there are a few songs. Lel HaSeda, he ate Gebrachs. You follow? Lahotzim Elibam Shel Tztukim. So you see, again, you have a Chumra, keep it quiet. It's your Chumra. Don't change the world. Torah has to be normative, and normal. Lo nitna Torah l'malachei ha-sharet. And Rabbi Nasha Klein is very upset with people who come along and are going to come up with chumrat she'ein ha-tzibor yecholim la'amod. Okay. More than that, I have another problem. Go back a few years ago. The Shaila came to Rav Menashe Klein. I'm not getting any Yomo. Am I getting? Yeah. Okay, it's working. I'm knocking the microphone around. Rav Menashe, I can give you a display of microphones I've used since 1971. I have the original microphones in my office. There's one in here that you bought for me in the early 90s. And this is the latest contraption. The one from the 1990s records as I speak, but it's cassettes. It's a different ballpark. Come back here. Rabbi Nachman had a different choir, a different shayla. Chaim, you know what a Sefer Torah is? Did you ever buy a new one? The day will come, you'll be well-to-do, you want to be Mechayim, the mitzvah of Ketivat Sefer Torah. You get a good Sefer, and they check it with the computer. Reb Menashe Klein was 100% against computer checks. What's a computer? Artificial intelligence, AI. He swears in his tshuvot that he saw Sifrei Torah that were checked by a computer and had mistakes. Swears by it. What's going on here, Randall? An X-ray machine, Röntgen, in rabbinic Hebrew and in Yiddish, Röntgen, that's the word you're going to find. Computer, Torah. Tefillin. My tefillin were ruined. I have a pair of tefillin I bought in the mid-50s, the top sefer in Yerushalayim. I paid $50 for it before I got married. It was a fortune at that time. So I had them checked when Corona, when I could go out the first time. We were davening outside, and the weather, the winter, is not good for the tefillin. So they claim I needed new parshia. I paid 3,000 shekel. He showed me computer printouts of various parshia. I picked out the best at my age already. The best. I can bring it to class, show you what my tefillin inside looked like. Tell, can we be samach on that? No. Excuse me, Max?
You saw the old parshios? Did they take them?
No, they put them at the Seamus, whatever. I think I'm a businessman. I happen to have grandchildren who are business people. Where they got the genes, I don't know. I just had a great-grandson, got 2 awards, one in Talmud and one in Saka. I said, Talmud, maybe you inherited some of my genes. Saka, I don't know where you got it, but all right, it's not from me. Come back here, I'm fighting time now. I begin on time and I end in time. Always be here 9 and I'll end in time more or less. Okay. Tefillin check, you see. Vegetables. Natan, you ate lettuce on Shabbat? How did you check the lettuce? Did you put it on a light table? Imagine, Rabbi Menashe Klein says, people who check their vegetables on light tables are eating worms. Rabbi Menashe Klein. Now, what he's touching upon is something very basic. Vic, you come from a fine family. No one in this class knows who your uncle was. Rabbi Yisrael Snow, his uncle's from a famous Rashi Yeshiva in Chaim, Berlin. I grew up as a kid. I heard of Rav Snow. Someone would say to me, Aaron, someday you're going to teach his nephew. See, what a little dummy from the Bronx you can achieve if your heart is pure. But, wow. Comes from a frum house. What, are you frummer than your grandparents? Did they have a light table? Did they have a computer? Did they have an X-ray machine? I'm paraphrasing Rav Menashe Klein here. You see, there's something as a Torah lifestyle. And this takes us back to rupture and reconstruction. Chaim, the author, has your first name. My classmate, Rabbi Dr. Professor Chaim Soloveitchik. Zach, you're familiar with rupture and reconstruction?
Yes, I have the...
Good. Dr. Grach Hagon Reb Chaim, correct. Because my classmate, to me, he's Chaim and I'm Ani. Chaimka, we call him. To me, he's Ani. He lives around the corner from me. Ani, how are you? That's exactly it. Our generation, how many of us can say our grandparents were from Whole Break, Balei Tshuva, Soviet Union? I have a whole article coming out, the most important piece I've ever published. It'll be out right for Sukkot time. Chakira. I rip Kriya over what I could have accomplished the Soviet Jewry had morons not intervened. You'll see the article, Aryeh. I reveal secrets. There's no longer a security clause on me. We're all Balei Tshuva today. How many? And even where you come from. But the Holocaust, everything's broken. What's important is how much matzah my father ate to eat a kazayit. Reb Menashe Klein would go crazy with putting down on the table this much matzah. You know what I'm saying? They give you a sheet, a placemat. Matzah, this size. Murrah, this. That's Yiddishkeit. Walking around with rulers, measuring on yontif. X-ray machines. AI. Light tables. See, Yiddishkeit has to go by tradition. How can I be frummer? How can I be finer than my parents? How can I embarrass them? How can I say earlier generations were not medakdek in their religious practice? And this is why when Reb Heschel wanted to go into Rav Elyasher, and there are two different versions, but both versions of the story say the same thing. Rav Elyasher thought there's no need to be machmir on milk. Our parents drank milk, our grandparents drink milk. More than that, the story I heard, Yerushalayim was shaking. Kids come in, this is many years ago, Rav Elyasher's wife is still alive, the daughter of Rabbi Levine. We're not dealing here with street people, dealing here, we have to know these families. I knew Rabbi, you know Rabbi Levine's family, Rav Kugel, Ayid, Azishkeit, a tzaddik, a London mufak. So these kids, American kids, idiots, maybe learning in Mir, they're at Rav Elyasher's house, and the Rebbetzin brings out strawberries. And they go over to the window with the strawberries like this, and Rav Elyasher said, what are they doing? And they explain to Rav Elyasher, they're looking to see if they're little insects. He got so upset, he said, my father, my grandfather, they cut off the green leaf. They looked under the green leaf. They washed it, and they ate it. What are they doing looking the window? Gentlemen, you're dealing here with the heart of Torah. You're dealing here with the heart of some of the real problems we have today. Reb Menashe Klein was not happy with this inference we shouldn't be drinking milk. Chas v'chalila. And his tshuva gets us involved in some very basic issues. Bitul berov. Do we eat it or don't we eat it? And we can take many more issues. An Erev. We don't carry or we do carry. We're Rabbanim. People are looking at us. We're setting an example. Vegetables. How do we check? My middle daughter is my wife is an artist, and some of my daughters, actually two out of the three, inherited her art ability, and some of the grandchildren. I never have a number of grandchildren who graduated Bezalel. They also had that art ability. I have in my office a picture of Mori Urebi, was done, hand-done with pens or pencils, whatever, of the Rav. That was done by a grandson. But, and some of them work in art. It's part of their computer, their knowledge, etc. So one time, neighbors knocked on my daughter's door. You have a light machine, you know, to do what? You turn on the light, you see. What do they call it? Is there a technical name
light
for it?
Box.
A light box, it's called. And I said, what did they want? They put their letters on the light box. I said, that's not Yiddishkeit. But Menashe Klein would agree with me. So this is his answer. I haven't finished. I'm going to show you something next week, which he says, and introduce you to a very important source. Without it, you can't be a Rav, you can't paskin a Shaila. And we'll move on. It's a year of fascinating material. So what did we do today? We finished the heart of the tshuva to Rav Elir, to the Rav in Bnei Brak, Ilovich. It could be that this tshuva applies to Rav Heschel Schechter as well. And you'll see what I say next week. Someone writes something beautiful to explain Rav Heschel. But this is a real problem, particularly the second part of today's Shia. How do we go? What's our religious life? Where's the rupture? How's the reconstruction? Normalcy. Now, tomorrow, Be'ezrat HaNotein LeYov Korech, I'll pick up exactly where I left off, and I'll explain everything, just to leave you with a popular message, Yeshivat Chachmei Lublin, we're after Rav Meir Shapiro, but we'll summarize and go further. We will not hit Velosha yet, we'll still be in Chachmei Lublin this week, next week. But I'm going to do something else tomorrow, if I have the energy, Be'ezrat HaShem. I'll end Shia 5 minutes earlier, and I've been getting so many questions from Chutz Laretz about what's going on here. I'll present the mini paper on the political situation here and the heart of the issue, and point to at least some solutions, but leave that for tomorrow. Now, what I want to do, I have a lot of freebies, anyone interested. First of all, I want to compliment, freebies, I get a lot of material, and at my stage in life, I have limited room, but I don't want to throw it away. I want to give it out, who will appreciate it. Sohar came out with a kashrus guide for traveling in Chutz La'aretz. I have to say, I'm very impressed. I've differed with Sohar in one part of the Hechsherim, but leave that for another time. Maybe tomorrow I'll mention it in context, or the week afterwards. I have two shirim prepared. This is excellent. If anyone wants it, and you can download it. If more than one person wants it, Kashrut traveling in Chutz Laretz, Kashrut and Shabbat. Very well done. This will leave for tomorrow. Let me give this out. If anyone wants this, this is the latest issue of Or HaTorah. It's from a big Sfadik yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva is Rav Meir Mazuz. I just want to be sure I have the first name right, but I believe I do. And it's Kiddushei Torah, Halacha L'maisa. Fascinating to see the world of today and what Talmidei Chachamim are thinking. Coming back to how I started this year an hour and a half ago on Barak, Bark, Lakewood, Tel Aviv, the Rosh Yeshiva is one of the biggest Lamdanim in the state of Israel. He's a member of the Moetzei Gedolei HaTorah of Shas, Rav Meir Mazuz. The biggest sheikhs in the world, who is on the Supreme Court and retired very quickly, and I now heard from my daughter, who knows what's going on in the law, in world of law, why he retired so quickly. A menuvel shebemenuvim, a man whose enmity towards Yiddishkeit has no limit, who grew up in Agudat Yisrael, in Chinuch Atzmai, many mezuz. Cousin of the Rosh Yeshiva. One family. If anyone's interested, this is a dear chaver of mine puts out the Rav's Torah in every parsha. This is on Parshat Ki Teitzei, and he has here on Yifat Toah, quoting the Rav from his Kedushim. Very fascinating what he's doing. This is Israel. Yossi, you're new to Israel. You go shopping in Rami Levi. They give you svarim for nothing. This is a beautiful sefer on Taret Mishpacha, Halacha and Machshava. Beautifully done. Rami Levi pays for all these publications. They have a kollel. When you buy Abadi's salty cookies, what do they call them? Abadi. Everyone calls it Abadi. You're supporting a kollel that learns in the factory, in Atarot. There's a big Svadik kollel supported by Abadi cookies. It's an amazing country. The latest issue of Mayan from Kerem Biafna, beginning, this was a German publication, beginning with Poli Agudat Yisrael and the Breuers and the Emanuels. It continues today. This, I have no idea. I made a copy. It has my name in it, Bishut Aaron Rakefet. This is from a book that was put into Cherem and burned in public, and the New York Times wrote all about it. Making of a Gadol by Reb Natan Kamenetsky. I found this in my mailbox. I must have made this copy 20 years ago from somebody. What's in it is the Alta and his relationship with Reb Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. Very, very fascinating. Finally, research from the Jewish Quarterly Review, Regional Boundaries and Medieval Halacha, Rabbinic Response from Catalonia to Southern France in the 13th and 14th century by Pinchas Roth. This is something some of the people he thanks I know very well, Judah Galinsky, others. Anyone interested, you are welcome. My dear students, I want to thank you all for coming. And if Yossi, Zach, and Max honor me with their presence tomorrow, I will dance a Kazatska the next time I am in Red Square. If there are any questions, no. Okay, now, I end off now here until we meet again in health and happiness. To the wonderful people on screen, do you have any questions on today's shiur? I thank that people in America staying up all night. Kol hakavod to you. Are there any questions from around the world? Anyone?
A request?
Yeah.
This is a very, very long shiva. It's columns and columns.
Right.
I like to sometimes, I have it on my screen, right? I have a PDF file readily available. If you could have mentioned the actual daf number, so I could actually, like you're quoting things in the tshuva, and I'm trying to scroll up and down, I can't find
the page. You mean? Okay, so I'll mention the page. Just remind me, signal me.
For the future, it's when it's a really long tshuva.
Okay, it's a long tshuva, absolutely, and there's more lumdas in it, but I picked the parts that speak to us. You follow? You'll see next week what I'm going to quote. But if I, Yomo, remind me to give the page.
I have a different idea. I had a different idea. I wanted to pass by Rebbe. That occurred to me this morning when I was setting them.
Okay.
For the season.
Okay. Yeah, Nachum, how are your parents? Nachum Lamb. We can't hear.
I'm mute.
Good, okay. And by the way, Hidorarut, which your friend Berkowitz was in, they're running buses on Shabbos today. So if you meet him...
You know who's running them now?
Who?
What's his name? Schwartz. He's Hartman's grandson-in-law. He's married to Hartman's granddaughter.
My God. All right. I just quoted, someone quoted to me yesterday, someone from YU who went off the path. I said, you're quoting to me from why you went off the path? What about Hartman, Lakewood? What about Yitz Greenberg, Novadik? You saw Yitz Greenberg's article? Women should be judges. Dayanot, Rebbeinu Lailam. Baruch Hashem, I managed YU, Lakewood, Chabad, I'm the happiest person alive. I look at my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I have a picture hanging up in my refrigerator of my great-granddaughter lighting Shabbos candles and gun covering her eyes. So there's no greater nachat than that in life.
Rabbi, I have to say, there was an article in the Forward a few days ago of a bunch of faculty at YU, including Jewish studies. They wrote this whole piece about how YU isn't allowing you know, the gays and all that. I don't know how they can have them teach anything, really. If you don't like it, go teach somewhere else. If this matters so much to them, but that they're teaching Tanakh, that they're teaching, I don't know what they're teaching there, and they're writing articles in the Forward on this topic.
Unbelievable.
It's like, all right, they're fighting in the Supreme Court. This is terrible. This is terrible.
All I can say is, why you that I live in, I'm spending all my time now in the 70s on Rav Shmuel Belkin, and that ends it. I have nothing to say about why you from that point, because I don't know. I only know what's going on in this kollel. Outside of that, I have to keep my mouth shut because I'm not there. But that's very frightening, and that's part of our mental illness. But we'll come to that tomorrow. Okay, do we meet?
I got sent an article by my brother. What you wrote about the protests over the summer, the points is that the tablet magazine on the internet, they just wrote a piece, a leftist who went to all the protests. He wrote the same exact thing you did.
Okay,
he writes how, you know, he goes to his leftist friends for Friday night. They're like, oh, here's my two kids. Then he goes to his, like, his Tilo Me friends Friday night. He's like, here's my 89 kids. He's like, there you go, that's all.
Do me a favor, send me the link, let me see.
Yeah, I'll send it.
Okay. Okay, can we meet again in health and happiness?
Ready?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Good morning, it's Yehoshua Gremstein. A small announcement and a request. A small announcement, whoever wants the Kashrut booklet of Tzohar can get in touch with me, and I'll be happy to send it to them.
Okay, if anyone, whoever wants the Kashrut bulletin can get in touch with Yomo, and Yomo, you'll send it to them, or you'll
I'll send them the information, Rabbi
Grunstein's email. Very good. Okay, anyone want that?
And a request, Rabbi, if possible, tomorrow, if you're going to deal with current events, if you can also put on the list the bill that's now being debated in Knesset about nominating rabbis for cities.
Zelichud v'zelichud. There you're getting me involved with Shas. And all that's happening in Tveria as well. My daughter filled me in. No, let me just stick to the yeshiva problem. That's the one that I'm getting all the questions from all over the world. And let me say what I want to say. And I don't want to take away class time. It'll be at the very end. I'll take off 5 minutes and another 10 minutes. Okay. But that book on Kashrut and Shabbos was fabulous. Kalakavod, Yitzhohar. Kalakavod. Okay, I just want to break off because I have a room full of students here. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya.